This is Audible.
Harlequin Audio is proud to bring you Hold Tight, a For You novella by Alexa Riley, performed by Savannah Peachwood and Tristan James. Prologue. Royce. My friends call me Rolly. Granted, I used to be chubby when I was a kid, but I grew out of that around 10. The reason it started is because I come from a long line of rich assholes. The Davenport name is known all over New York, and my father is no exception. I went to one of the most expensive private schools in the state, and when I showed up with the name Royce, it wasn't hard to connect the dots to Rolls Royce. Rolls turned into Rolly, and that was that. It stuck from day one. And though most of the kids I grew up with ended up being douchebags, a couple of them were ride or die. My two buddies and I got out of college and started a consultancy firm. We used the money we made from hustling. The only things we wouldn't do to make it was sell drugs or ask our parents for it. My buddies, Ezra and Donovan, came from the same background as me. And the three of us agreed we wanted to be our own men. It sucked, living in a 400-square-foot studio with two mattresses pushed together and a bathroom with no door, but we made it big in less than 5 years. I wanted to make my own contacts, and when I met Henry Osborne at a charity function last year, I knew that working with him would benefit both of us. What I didn't know was that the day he asked me to come take a look at his departments was the day she would walk into my life. Pandora was unlike any woman I'd ever seen. Her red hair was pulled back from her face, and her dark blue eyes were rimmed with black eyeliner. It made her look intimidating and sexy as fuck. She was petite, but I got the impression from her stance and from her handshake, that she could take me down in the blink of an eye. God, she had no idea how much I wanted her to try. They say that like recognizes like, and the day I looked into her deep blues, I met my other half. She was my equal in every way, possibly even better than I'm willing to admit. I had to have her, plain and simple. Too bad it wasn't that easy.
Chapter 1. Pandora. I swear on every bagel in Manhattan that if you come over here and ask me what time you can go to lunch, I'll burn this building to the ground. The new guy, Josh, looks at me with a blank expression on his face and takes a step back.
So, now?
Go to lunch before she kills us all, Sophia says, patting him on the shoulder. He walks away, and I drop my head on the desk. I want to beat against it, but I don't want the mark on my forehead for the rest of the day. It would be too much of a reminder of my frustration.
Sorry, I meant to intercept before he got to you. How's it going, boss?
I lean up from my desk and sit back in my chair. I'm still not used to you calling me boss. I smile at Sophia, and she shrugs.
Hey, you earned it. Might as well wear the title with honor.
She lays a file down on my desk.
That's the Miller report you asked for. Are you taking a lunch break today?
I'm already opening the file and shaking my head as she tells me she'll bring me back something from the cafeteria. I scan the documents and start clicking on my computer to see if I can code some of it now. An email pops up from my twin sister, Penelope, and I smile. Of course, there are pink hearts in the subject line. I skim it and see she's excited to find out the sex of her baby, and Ivan is being extra protective, but she's so happy she can't seem to care. Shaking my head, I send an email back, telling her I still think it's a boy. And I'll finally be able to have something in common with one of her kids. Penelope and Ivan got married when she was 18. They started having babies right away, and now she's on number 3. 10 years later, and she's got two beautiful girls who are full-blown princesses, and one on the way. Fingers crossed this one likes to get dirty. At 28, I've got a very different life than my sister. She lives next door to our parents, and they have this big family compound. I've got a place there, too, but I stay in the city most of the time. After college, I went in for an internship in the security department at Osborne Corp. It didn't hurt that my cousin Henry was running the place now, but I'm damn good at my job. I worked my way up, and when the time came for my dad to retire, I was chosen as his replacement. I thought that there may have been some animosity in the department, but I found out afterward that my dad put it to a secret vote so that everyone had a chance to be honest and have the leader they wanted. He said every vote was for me but one, and that one was his. I know I'll always be his little girl, so I couldn't even be mad about it. I work 80-hour weeks and give everything I have to this job. I want the department to be the best it can be, but I'm only one person. Human Resources restructured security a few months ago, and we're having some growing pains. Mostly in my ass. Some of the new hires they sent are completely incompetent, and most days I'm spending even more of my time cleaning up their messes. Henry keeps promising me that he's going to sort it out, but he's running out of time. I'm at my wit's end with trying to manage a department and trying to hold the hands of dumbasses. Good thing personnel can't hear my inner thoughts. I'm so caught up in my work that at one point I look down and see a bag of food on my desk. I glance up at Sophia, and she shakes her head, laughing. "Thank you," I mouth from across the room. I inhale the sandwich and the Diet Coke, and it's hours later when I realize that everyone is gone for the day. I heard people telling me goodbye as they were leaving, but it didn't register. Glancing down at the clock on my computer, I'm shocked to see it's after 10. I pull out my phone and see I've got a missed text from my friend Delilah. "Del, I'm at Lincoln's until midnight." I grab my bag and make my way out of the building, waving to the late shift staff at the front desk in the lobby. They all know me by first name and watch out for me when I let the time slip by. As I walk, I respond to the other texts I missed during the day. I send one to thank my mom for sending me the name of the new restaurant that popped up near my apartment, and then I reply to my dad to say that, yes, I promise to come home this weekend and see everyone. They like to nag, but I love it. We are all really close, but they know I'm addicted to my job. I check the rest of my texts on the 4-block walk to the bar off the alley. Lincoln's is tucked away and quiet, but they've got a good liquor list and food until 3 in the morning. What more could a working woman need? I've got on a black jacket and black slacks with black heels. This is the extent of my entire wardrobe, and it makes me blend into a place like this. When I walk in, I spot Delilah by the pool table and make my way over. We met during the intern program at Osborne, but she ended up taking an offer at another firm after our year was up. I couldn't blame her. They were willing to make her lead of her own team right away, and that's what we were both after. It was an unspoken competition, and one I'm glad didn't end our friendship. Her straight, dark hair is to her shoulders, and she's got on the same kind of dark suit I have. She's taken off her jacket, and I do the same, revealing my black tank top under it. I see two beers sitting on a table next to her, and I raise an eyebrow. "Yours should still be cold. I asked the waitress to bring it about 10 minutes ago," she says, racking the balls again.
Am I that predictable?
"Nah, I've still got a tracker on your phone." I shake my head. "One time I go on vacation and you never let me turn it off after." "Hey, that's what friends are for," she retorts, grabbing the pool stick and breaking. Finally looking around, I see it's crowded for a Wednesday night. "Why's this place hopping?"
"No idea. I was going to ask Jim, but he isn't at the bar tonight," Delilah says, drinking her beer.
"We know most of the guys who work here, but there's a new one behind the counter tonight. Lincoln's is normally pretty chill, and it's nice for winding down after work. I love clubs, and I love to dance. I don't get to do it as much as I used to now that I work so much, but crowds don't bother me. Most weekdays, however, I stay away from clubs and stick to the dive bars. We order food and play pool for an hour until Delilah wants to call it a night. The place is packed now, and I have to admit that my curiosity is piqued. Before I can find out why, Delilah pulls me out into the night and waves us down a cab. By the time the cab drops me off and I make it into my apartment, I've pushed all thoughts of it aside. I barely have enough time to strip off my clothes before I've fallen face first into my bed.
Chapter 2. Royce. Next, we'll visit the head of security and you'll meet Pandora Justice. She runs the department, and I'm sure she'll help you with any questions you have, Henry Osborne says as he leads me from his conference room to the elevator. We've been in meetings for the past week, going over what he sees as the future of the company and where he thinks there's the greatest need for my expertise. I've met with board members and heads of every branch to try to supply him with the data he needs. Henry is a great head for business, and the company is his first priority. It's unusual for someone around 30 to be driven by something other than money, but from what I've been able to assess, we both have very similar backgrounds. This was his father's company, and he's taken over. Now he wants to see it thrive under his control. I've enjoyed working with him and discussing ideas for a better future. We've got a plan laid out, and now it's on to smaller department changes that could benefit everyone above and below in staffing. Almost everyone I met came to the boardroom, but this time we're going directly to the security floor. It's different from what I've seen this week. But I'm curious to see the it. Is there a boardroom in security we can use? Better to start with a question and see where that gets me. We step onto the elevator, and Henry hits the button. He straightens his dark blue suit and brushes his hair out of his face. Pandora likes things her way, he says, and lets out a sigh. That's definitely not the answer I was expecting. It surprises me that he goes from confident and assured to almost nervous as the elevator doors open and we step off. I follow him as he walks down a short hallway and into a large open area. There are desks all around and computer screens everywhere. People are talking to one another, and there's an energy around the room that's not quite excitement, but close. People say hello to Henry as we walk across the expanse, and he greets them all by name. I can tell this man loves his company, but also cares about his employees. The department takes up one floor, and that space has been opened up so information can be easily shared. It's definitely not made for privacy, but in a security department, there's no room for that. There's an office on the far side of the room that's raised up a little. At least, I think it's an office. One wall is made of glass, and the double doors are currently wide open. Closing them could offer sound privacy, but with the way it's situated, there's no way the person behind the computer could blink without someone knowing it. Henry is as tall as I am, at 6'2". And so I can't see past him to who's in the office. What I do see is when his shoulders stiffen as he gets to the doors and knocks. Hey, Penny, I stopped by to introduce you to the consultant, remember?
I told you about calling me that at work, Casanova, an unseen woman retorts.
He sighs and steps aside, holding out his hand. Royce Davenport? I'd like to introduce you to Pandora Justice, head of security at Osborne Corporation. I look over and see a small woman bent over a computer and not even looking up at us. I want to laugh at her balls. She clearly doesn't give a fuck. I have to bite my bottom lip as Henry clears his throat to get her attention.
Almost finished.
Her hands click over her keyboard at a crazy speed, and after about 30 seconds, she stops and stands up.
If you could give me more people in here who can code, instead of idiot rent-a-cops who passed a 2-hour course on mall safety, my floor would function a hell of a lot better.
Henry rubs his eyes and then looks at Pandora with pleading eyes.
Pan,
it's nice to meet you, Mrs. Justice, I say, holding out my hand, wanting to find out if she's married.
Pandora, Mrs. Justice is my mom.
She takes it without hesitation, and I feel her firm grip meet mine. She's not trying to hurt me, and it doesn't feel exaggerated. Her hand feels strong in mine. This isn't a show where she's trying to seem tough. She actually is. I expected it to be soft and delicate, but her grasp feels like that of an athlete. The strength in her arm and her stance tells me that she's not afraid of me. Or anything. It's a small touch, and I've sized her up with all my assumptions in one basket, and yet somehow I know I've got her all wrong. She's showing me who she is, but I have no clue where to begin. I've never met a woman so overwhelming. I'm drowning in her, and for a moment my head swims.
If you need to sit down, there's a chair, and I want you to fall over and bleed on my desk, she says, as she pulls her hand from mine.
I'm sorry, but did she not just feel the earth stop moving? I clear my throat and straighten my suit. My hair is cut short, and I can feel the cool air on the back of my neck just above my collar. I focus on that instead of the blood rushing to my ears.
You'll have to excuse Royce. We've been in the boardroom all day. I promised him lunch, and I knew that was the only way I could get you out of your office, Henry says.
There's a low-lying threat to his statement, and for a half a second, I think Pandora is going to challenge it.
Fine, Casanova, but I get to pick the appetizers.
They stare at one another, and for a moment I can picture them as children having this same discussion. Something green and angry rises in my chest at the banter these two have. Their inside jokes are irritating me, and I feel excluded. Maybe I could have lunch one-on-one with Mrs. She snaps back to me with her deep blue eyes, and I correct myself. Pandora, I think we've gone over enough for today, Henry. I can email you the rest of what we discussed, and I can handle the remainder here. There's a relief in his eyes as he smiles and shakes my hand.
Perfect. I'll speak to you tomorrow, he says,
and nearly bolts out of the office before Pandora can protest.
It's hard to respect your boss when you saw him poop in his pants when he was 6.
She shrugs and grabs the bag hanging on the back of her chair.
Never work with family.
The warning somehow makes the green-eyed monster in my chest calm down, and I finally have a better understanding of the situation. I didn't realize you were related, I say, following closely behind her.
Most people here know. It's hard for them not to, since our parents all work together, and we grew up basically like brother and sister.
Her long, dark red hair is pulled into a tight ponytail, and it swishes back and forth as she walks. Her petite frame is moving fast, and I have to speed up my steps to keep up with her. I also have to force myself not to stare at her round ass when we get on the elevator. She pushes the button for the lobby and puts her hands on her hips.
How do you feel about tacos?
She asks, without looking at me. I never met one I didn't like, I say with a smile. She slowly turns her head to me, and there's not a trace of humor on her face. When the elevator doors open, she slides on her sunglasses.
Watch yourself, Royce,
she says before she steps off, and I have to hurry to keep up.
Fucking hell. I think I'm in love.
Chapter 3. Pandora.
I can smell the grease from here,
Royce says, looking up at the taco hut. I love this place, and I love it even more when it's nice out. They have little outside tables, too, so patrons can enjoy the sunshine. It's nice to get out of the office sometimes and get some sun. I haven't been doing that much lately. I really need a pool day with my sister. I look over at him. He's once again standing too close, and it's really starting to annoy me, mostly because he keeps brushing up against me, and I don't like it, not even a little. It's amazing how easily I can lie to myself.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I go to open the door, but he beats me to it. He flashes me that perfect smile and brushes up against me again. I hate how short I am. Even in my heels, I still have to look up at him. I walk past, and the smell of tacos fills the air. But then all I can smell is him as he stands too close. He smells woodsy, nothing at all like I would have thought. With that suit that molds to his body so perfectly and a $5 million smile, I was sure he'd have on some pungent, overpowering cologne. In fact, I think the smell coming off him is just the way he smells. Something about him isn't adding up for me. I can't put my finger on it, but it's there. Maybe it's the things he's making me feel, and I don't know how to explain it. He leans down, and I turn my head, not willing to step back.
You don't know much about personal space, do you?
That stupid smile only gets bigger. I shake my head, thankful for my sunglasses still perched on my face because I didn't want him to see the childish eye roll I just gave him. I walk up to the counter.
It's been a while,
Sam says, coming back from the kitchen. I know. I lean on the counter. Miss me?
Every damn day.
I see a shadow loom over me, and Royce has his hands folded over his chest. His smile is gone now, and he looks pissed. I ignore him and go back to talking to Sam. Sam has owned the taco hut for as long as I can remember. My mom and dad would bring us up here a lot after school when we were kids. Then Penelope and I started coming on our own. We even studied for some of our finals in here while devouring late-night snacks. Sam always gave us homemade churros that were to die for. Don't mind him, I say when I see Sam eyeing Royce. He doesn't know about boundaries, but I just met him today, so he could just be an asshole. Sam smirks, but gives Royce a glare. I hear Royce grunt something, but I don't catch it.
How am I going to stay in business if your taco addiction is fading?
Sam teases. Blame Henry. He's the one working me to death. Sam shakes his head.
Haven't seen him for a few months either.
Because he knows I love this place and he's avoiding me right now. Do you have any fresh churros? I ask, giving him my best smile. I want something sweet for later when I'm at work tonight and have nothing to eat. Tacos don't hold well, but the sugary dessert will.
I think I may have a few,
Sam says, his eyes softening.
Only for you, though.
He shoots a look at Royce. Perfect. And I'll take my usual, I add.
All right, 8 tacos with extra cheese and sour cream.
I hear Royce cough and mutter,
8?
I look at him and shrug. They aren't giant, kind of like mini tacos. They fry the shells, too, so they're crispy little heaven-sent morsels of pleasure. I can't stop the moan that escapes me when I talk about them. God, it's been too long.
If they can make you make that sound, I'll take 8, too,
he says, his smile back in place. I turn in the other direction. I don't want to face him because I can feel my cheeks burn. That did not just happen. I'll have a Diet Coke, too, and he's buying. Sam chuckles and heads back to the kitchen. I go find a table outside and sit down. Royce follows me, setting my Coke down in front of me while taking a sip of his water. So, I think our department is being staffed wrong. It's not that I need more people.
I just think that maybe there's a faster way we can be doing things, something I'm not seeing. More productive, but not as much work.
Have you lived in New York long?
He asks, cutting me off. I take a sip of my soda, but ignore his question. A few years back, a guy by the name of Jordan Chen used to work for us. Crazy good with computers, but he's retired. Anyway, long story short, we never replaced him. He had contingencies in place, but I think things have become dated and some stuff has changed.
I can tell you were born and raised here. You talk fast.
I take my sunglasses off and study him for a second. What's wrong? Can't keep up? I raise an eyebrow at him. He only smiles, again, then takes a sip of his water. I inhale slowly and try to stay on track. Anyway, I shift back as Sam comes over and sets our tacos down. Thanks, I tell him as he walks away. I don't think he'll want to do it. I mean, I can reach out to him, but he has a daughter. She's like him. I think about it for a moment. Kinda like him.
Did you know your lip lifts in the corner a little when you get annoyed?
His eyes are on my mouth. If you know you're annoying me, then why do you keep doing it? He shrugs and opens the box with his tacos, but doesn't move to eat one. Echo is...
See? Your lip did it again. Does she annoy you?
He leans in a little, propping his elbows on the table and studying me. I don't like it. He's known me 2 seconds and already he's reading me like he's been doing it his whole life. Like I said, Echo is like her dad, but with some quirks. She can be...
Annoying,
he finishes. His eyebrows rise to let me know I did the lip thing again, but all I can think about is him watching my mouth now. I take a breath and sit back, crossing my arms. Echo can be more than annoying. She has to control most things. She can be unpredictable. If I tell her to do one thing and she thinks I'm wrong, she'll just do it her way. It's always her way.
Then why would you want her?
Because she's normally right and 5 steps ahead. She's in her head a lot of the times and isn't always vocal. She just does it. I knew this from experience. We shared a few classes together in school, and I got stuck on some projects with her. She'd actually skipped a few grades. Her parents are even pretty close with mine, so she was around a lot. But she normally favored hanging out with Penelope over me. She's damn smart. She's probably smarter than her father. They're always on the computer together, and I bet it would be easy for her to pick up where he left off.
Are you in a relationship?
Royce asks, catching me off guard. I was sure he was going to ask me more about Echo, but he doesn't really seem to care about work. All his questions are about me. That reminds me that I need to look into him, too. I did a soft check on him when Henry mentioned him, but I trust Henry. He wouldn't bring him on if he didn't think it was for the best. I always trust Henry's instincts because they're always spot on. Plus, the Davenport name is known around town. Royce comes from old family money. Probably thinks he can do and say anything he wants. I've met a lot of men like him. It's why, when I first meet new men I'll be working with, I'm firm, so they don't think they can get something over on me. Leaning over, I reach out and shut Royce's taco box. I pick it up and place his box on top of my box, then stack my churros on top of that. You just lost your tacos, I tell him. I pick up my sunglasses, slide them back onto my face, and then grab the food. He can track me down when he actually wants to talk about work. He chuckles as I walk away. Then I'm almost sure I hear something about it not being the tacos that he's after.
Chapter 4. Royce.
You sure you're up for this tonight? Ezra asks from the couch. Leave him alone. Riley's got this. Right?
Donovan gives me a worried look, but I shake both of them off. If I didn't know better, I'd say you two are starting to get soft on me.
Pfft,
After seeing that sweet little redhead you were talking to today, I've been nothing but hard. Ezra chimes in and winks at me. I throw the remote at his head before he sees it coming, hitting him right between the eyes.
Dude,
he shouts, and rubs the spot where it connected.
I'm sorry, okay?
Don't mess up the moneymaker. He takes out his phone and looks into the camera to inspect the damage. I'd caught Pandora today in the lobby. She's been avoiding me for the past few days, and I haven't been able to corner her in her office. From what I've heard, she's usually at her desk, but lately she's been giving me the slip. I knew something was up the last time I was there to see her, and they told me she'd gone to the ladies' room. I waited in her office for 2 hours, and she never came back. Either she has some serious issues, or she was waiting me out. Lucky for her, I'm hard-headed and don't give up that easy. She's been responding to all my emails, even if it's just a one-word answer. I've kept the messages professional and haven't stepped a toe out of line, helping her the best I can with solving some of the problems she's been having. And I think she's right about hiring this Echo woman. I've gone over some of her stuff, and she's impressive. I even thought about reaching out to her myself so Pandora didn't have to, because she seems to get annoyed with her. Would help. I came up with a plan for Echo do just do spot project and not fully be on staff. More of a contractor for projects. She'd be more controllable that way. Giving her one task and program at a time, then she is done until you need another done. She'd already come up with some amazing ideas that I knew would cut the workload down for Pandora, but somehow I think that's made her even more skittish. Today she'd been in the lobby talking to the security guard at the entrance. Ezra and Donovan were there with me, meeting Henry to go over the last of the proposal. My job at Osborne Corporation is ending soon, and I don't know how many more opportunities I'll have to visit Pandora's office. When I saw her in the lobby, I had to take the chance. She was wearing all black, and her eyes were rimmed with that dark charcoal, making her deep blue eyes pop. I ached to take her long hair down from its tight knot and dive into it with both hands, to smudge the soft lipstick on her lips and make her react to me. I can't keep this bottled up much longer. I walked over and tried to say hello, but only got her cold shoulder. I'm happy to take anything from her, though, hot or cold. She doesn't seem to realize the more she plays hard to get, the more I want her. Although, if she threw herself at me, I'd still want her pretty goddamn bad, too. I guess that makes me an even bigger idiot. It took everything I had to let her walk away without crawling on my knees after her. I've never had this reaction to a woman before, and it's unnerving. I need tonight, if for nothing but to help settle my mind. Once I got home and jerked off to the image of her lips saying my name while I was deep inside her pussy, I was able to get my thoughts together and send her the last of my ideas for restructuring her department and streamlining her data like she asked. About an hour after I sent it, I got an email back. It was only the word, thanks, with her email signature below. But I knew that meant something big. She's not the type of woman to give things easily, and if she even took a second to respond, I knew she liked what I had to say. I've always been a supporter of the don't shit where you eat policy. I keep it 100% professional with all my clients, but something about Pandora is different. When she looks at me, there's heat there. If I knew she wasn't attracted to me, then I wouldn't come after her so hard. But I caught a hint of something I can't name, and I intend to find out what it is. That big German fucker is moving up, Donovan says, taking a beer out of my fridge and joining Ezra in the living room. You sure you want in? You know, if you guys get pom-poms, you could be my own personal cheerleaders. I grab a beer myself and lean against the counter. I pull out my phone and text the number I was given and ask for the location. The three of us all got our own places a couple of years ago after we started making good money. I bought a loft in the meatpacking district and have been fixing it up. It's still a work in progress, but I like doing it all with my own hands, so I don't mind. The kitchen and the living space are done, and so are my bedroom and master bathroom. The spare rooms and baths are pretty much just bare bones, but the exposed brick makes it seem trendy instead of like a construction zone. There's a nice patio outside, but I've yet to tackle the jungle out there. Both my thumbs are black, so I'm leaving that for the last possible second. Although they have their own homes too, Ezra and Donovan always end up in my living room. I think it's because I have the biggest television. Or maybe because I actually go to the store and buy beer. Either is a success in our book. I love wearing short skirts as much as the next guy, but we wouldn't be your friends if we didn't at least make sure your head is in the right space. I'm good, I say, looking at the two of them. They nod, knowing if I wasn't, I'd speak up. That's usually the case, at least. But I don't know if I'm in the same headspace right now. Tonight I want to get my hands dirty. I can't shake my thoughts of Pandora, and it's driving me crazy. Every other second, I'm wondering what she's doing and who she's with. I was able to find out through subtle hints to Henry that she isn't married. I don't know if she has a boyfriend, but fuck him if she does. That's just a bump along the trail, and I'm all too willing to step on a man if it gets me closer to her. And that's the problem. I'm so consumed with my need for her that I'm willing to break up a relationship to get it. I tip the bottle back and drain the rest of my beer. When my phone buzzes, I check the text and see the name of the place on the screen. I slam it down a little too hard when I'm finished and grab my bag and keys.
Where to?
Ezra asks as he and Donovan get up and grab their stuff. Lincoln's.
Chapter 5. Pandora.
Got you! My sister Penelope screams as she hops out in front of me. I'm leaving work, and she thought she could sneak up on me. I saw her peeking through the glass door as I was walking out. It's hard to miss someone who looks exactly like you. Well, except for the little pregnant belly and her green eyes. Oh, and let's not forget she always has a giant Russian standing near her.
Don't hop, Krasota,
her husband Ivan says, standing a few feet behind her. Penelope rolls her eyes as her hand goes to her belly. She rubs it in such a sweet, mothering way. What are you doing? I ask, like I don't know the answer. She knows something is up with me. It's like some weird twin thing we share. It's always been there, and it always will be. But sometimes I'd like a little emotional privacy from her.
Well, what I'm not doing is giving you these.
She holds up a white bag like she has victory in her hands. I narrow my eyes at her. Are those what I think they are? For a second, I contemplate snatching the bag from her, but she turns, tossing the bag to Ivan, who easily catches it. Stupid twin thingy.
Don't even think about it.
She narrows her eyes back at me, giving me the exact look I gave her. I know those are her famous homemade brownies that we all fight over at family dinners.
And I made them with real butter, she adds.
What else would you make it with? I crack a smile, like she'd use anything but the full fat.
I don't know. It sounded like a scary thing to add.
Now I can't help but laugh. You're a dork. I walk over and pull her into a
hug. Something weird is going on with you. I can feel it. Even in our texts, you seem off, she whispers in my ear. I debate what to say to her because I have been a little on edge. If I give you the truth, will you not ask me a million questions right now? I have some stuff to get done, and I have plans tonight. Fine, she grumbles. Pulling back, I place my hand on her belly. She's having a gender reveal party this weekend for the family. They haven't told anyone. Boy, she mouths to me and winks. Same, I mumble, and her eyes go wide, then stare down at my stomach. No, not that. I mean men. This guy's... never mind. This weekend we'll talk, I tell her. Promise? She studies me. Of course. I lean in, giving her a kiss on her cheek. Penelope can get everyone to do anything she wants. We always say she's our family's heart. Love just pours from her. She and her husband seem like opposites, but it works for them. He's a giant Russian who doesn't talk much and grunts when Penelope gets too far from him. Pretty sure he even has a tracker on her, and not some low-key cell phone one. Ivan? I nod toward him. He walks over and hands me the bag.
Your mission over, Krasota?
Ivan asks her. She gives him a nod and a wink.
Good. I wish to take you home.
You always want to take me home, she laughs.
Da.
He agrees, like he doesn't know why she's giving that a voice. Everyone knows this. But truth is, Penelope is a homebody. Love you guys. Kiss my nieces, I tell them before bending down and kissing her belly. Love you too, little man. I give my sister one more hug before they head off. I smile as I watch them go. I should have known she was going to pop up on me today after she randomly sent me the devil face emoji 3 times. I finish running a few errands before heading back to my office for a little while. I have a few hours to kill before I meet up with Delilah for some much-needed beers at Lincoln's. I throw myself into work, trying to stay focused. But like it's been doing for the past few annoying days, my mind bounces back to Royce. I click my emails to see if he sent me anything in the last few hours, but don't see anything. Annoyance once again creeps up my spine. And now I'm pissed at myself. What is wrong with me? I mumble. I think that's the problem. I don't even know the answer to that question. For some reason, I'm annoyed that Royce didn't chase me the other day after I'd walked away from him. I wanted to be as far away from him as possible, yet I was disappointed when he wasn't there. Then when he sends me emails, which I'm always checking, I get this stupid, weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. It's frustrating not being able to control my reaction to him. To top it off, I know I'm being childish by avoiding him. I should be trying to work with him more, help ease how busy I am at work, but here I am being immature, which is something I've never done in my life when it comes to work. Though he seems to be solving a lot of my problems here at work without a lot of my help, which only makes me think about him even more and all he's doing for me. He's going above and beyond, and I'm acting like a brat. Something about Royce isn't sitting right with me. It's like I'm missing something about him. I thought a few times about digging into him, but changed my mind. I knew I wanted it for personal reasons, and I was not turning into some stalker like so many of my family members. Dropping my head into my hands, I groan. I release a deep breath and look up at my computer to see that it's time for me to meet up with Delilah. I pick up my phone from my desk and slip it into the back pocket of my slacks. Reaching into the top drawer of my desk, I pull out some lipstick and put it on before heading out to Lincoln's. When I get there, I'm once again surprised to see it so busy. I see Delilah sitting at a table in the back, 2 beers in front of her and a couple of plates of food. I walk over, take my blazer off, and sit on the chair. Hey, I say. She barely notices me as she looks around the bar. Hey. She replies with a small nod. I reach down and pick up my beer, taking a few big pulls from it and enjoying the cold burn. Something's going on downstairs, she finally says, looking over at me. Really?
I glance to the back door and watch as people file in and out. In fact, the crowd has slowly gotten smaller as more people slip down there. Yeah, but no one is talking about what it is. I've had my ears open, but nothing. She looks over at me, pulling her eyes from the door. One eyebrow rises, and I know what she wants to do. Can I at least finish my beer and shove a few nachos in my mouth? I ask her. That will take you 2 seconds, she laughs. I shrug and shove some nachos in my mouth before polishing off my beer. I stand with her and throw a few 20s on the table. We make our way toward the door, and I wonder if anyone is going to stop us, but they don't. I walk down the stairs first. They lead down to a dark, narrow hallway, but I can hear noise coming from somewhere below. That's when light floods the space at the back of the room. The noise gets louder, and people are chanting. The place is dirty and smells like sweat. What the fuck? Delilah mumbles behind me. When we get to the bottom, I realize what they are chanting. Roly, roly, roly. Holy shit, it's Fight Club, Delilah whispers excitedly. It's underground shit. A makeshift ring sits in the middle of the concrete room, with people standing all around it. Yeah, I agree, as I look past the crowd trying to see. My eyes go to the ring where 2 men are already going at it. The one facing me looks like he's taken a few punches as blood runs down his nose. He isn't going to last another hit. He wobbles on his feet with his arms still up. His barrel chest rises and falls as he breathes hard, in and out. The crowd in front of me is making it hard to see, but Delilah and I push forward, both of us captivated by what's happening. The one with his back to us makes me pause my forward progress. Tattoos run along his muscled back and down both his giant arms. He's freaking ripped. The dark lines that look like dragon scales make their way below the waist of his shorts, and for half a second I wonder just how low the tattoo goes. A light sheen of sweat covers his whole body, and I can't pull my eyes away from him. He's still bouncing on his feet, as if he could go for hours. He looks like a machine, and I feel a pulse between my legs as I watch him move. He's a beast from behind, and I can almost feel the power rolling off him. The crowd keeps chanting. He does a little hop before he lands a left hook and takes the man down to the ground. The bleeding guy falls hard, and the crowd erupts around the 2 men. That was hot, Delilah exclaims from behind me. I nod in agreement, and just as I'm about to open my mouth, the fighter turns around. My stomach drops as my gaze locks with Royce's. His eyes widen for a fraction of a second, just before a cocky smile pulls at his lips. The ref, or whoever is calling the fight, comes over and raises one of his big, meaty arms in the air. The crowd chants even louder, and I swear to God, Royce looks at me like he just won more than that fight. Like he just won the right to fuck me. His eyes stay locked on mine, and I feel as if I'm frozen in place. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, because right now I'm more turned on than I have ever been in my entire life. God, he's so hot. Think he'll be in the bar upstairs when the fight's over? I hear a woman next to me say. Then a very foreign feeling hits me. I drop my eyes from Royce, turning to look at Delilah. Crap, I forgot I have something to take care of, I tell her. It's the only thing I can come up with off the top of my head. That's cool. I'm going to hang out down here and see if there are any more fights. This is kinda badass. I nod and say bye over my shoulder as I duck through the crowd. I take off, trying to get away from Royce once again. Why is it every time I'm near him, I feel like running away? I almost make it to the stairs when a hand grabs my arm, turning me around. I close my eyes and curse myself. I know exactly who I'm going to find when he turns me around, and my eyes open to once again meet his.
Chapter 6. Royce. What's the rush, baby? I say, and see the fire in her eyes.
Don't you dare call me that,
she hisses, and jerks her arm out of my hold. She may be pissed I caught her, but I know she likes what she sees. I've only got a pair of loose shorts that hang low on my hips, and right now she's eye-fucking my happy trail. You like what you see? She snaps her eyes back up to mine, and I see her blush. Fuck. What I wouldn't give to see if she blushes all the way down to her tits.
What are you doing here? Aren't you afraid someone is going to smack that smile off your face?
I smile even bigger, feeling my dimples crease. No way, baby. I don't ever let them touch me.
Must be a new experience, then. Seems you've got people ready to climb all over you,
she says, crossing her arms and looking around at the women watching us. God damn, I love when she sasses me. The only one I want on my jungle gym keeps avoiding me. She lets out a huff and shakes her head.
I don't know what you mean.
You know damn well what I mean, I say, taking a step forward. She takes a step back, trying to keep her distance. But we're not in the office right now, baby. This is open territory. In fact, I say, taking another step toward her as she takes another one back. I'd say it's pretty damn clear you're in my world now. Her back hits the wall, and I move in front of her, putting my arms on either side of her shoulders. I lean down a little so we're eye to eye. I can see the pulse beating in her neck, and I want to lean forward and lick her there.
This is my bar. Not my fault you were down in the basement. I just wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
And, I say, giving up the fight and leaning into her, I put my lips next to her ear and whisper, did you like what you saw? I run my tongue along the edge of her ear and feel her shiver, because I damn well liked having your eyes on me.
Royce,
she says, and there's a catch in her voice. Fuck. Keep saying my name like that, and it will get you fucked in the middle of that ring. I move my lips down her neck and feel her hand go to my chest. Or is that what you want? Her fingers trail down my hard abs and to the edge of my shorts. I've got to say, I don't really like the thought of everyone in here seeing you take my cock, but it makes me hard as a rock picturing you under me and getting off.
Oh, God.
I move my mouth up to her lips and look her in the eyes. I know you want to be in charge, but trust me, baby. It's better when you let me. With that, I press my lips to hers, and it's like gasoline on a match. Whatever it is we've been dancing around finally comes to a stop, and we attack each other. Her tongue pushes into my mouth, and I moan at the taste of her. In the next second, I've got her picked up and pinned against the wall as I grind my cock against her. Put those fucking legs around me, I growl, and she does as I command. Her thighs tighten as my hand goes to her shirt and slides underneath. I've got one hand gripping her ass as the other finds the cup of her bra and yanks it down. Her hard nipple is between my fingers, and I pinch the little bud as she moans. Her lower half rocks against me, and I've never felt anything like her. She's petite in my arms, but God, is she fierce. She's giving it back just as good as I'm giving it to her, and I feel the need roll off of her.
I wonder if I can get a term when she's done with him,
I hear someone say from behind us. Pandora breaks the kiss and glances over my shoulder.
Move along. Sloppy seconds aren't on the menu tonight.
I smile at her, and as if she's realized she just made a claim to me, a wall falls down in front of her and lands right between us. The woman behind me must leave, but I don't turn around to check. The only woman I'm interested in is in my arms, but even now I can see her pulling away.
I need to go,
she says, and drops her legs from around me, pushing my hand out from under her shirt. She takes a step away from me, but it might as well be a mile. Hey, I say, and she snaps her eyes back up to mine. I take her chin in my hand and lean down again so we are eye level. Don't do that. Don't you push me away when you feel this too. The only thing I feel is stupid for letting you embarrass me like this. She jerks her chin out of my hold and looks around the room. I've had enough of your bullshit, Pandora. Stop lying to me, and stop lying to yourself. You don't give a shit about anyone in here, so don't tell me I embarrassed you. I pull her into my arms and she gasps. You liked it, and I fucking loved it. You were meant to be in my arms, and the sooner you let yourself be okay with that, the better. I kiss her hard, and she bites my lip. For half a second, I think she's going to fight me, but instead, she melts just like she did before. I could let this keep going, and we could end up just how we were a moment ago. But she needs to get her head together first. I break our kiss and let her go, taking a step back from her. It's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but I can't stand her pushing me away again. I want you, plain and simple, and not just for a fast fuck in the ring. You feel this. I point between the two of us. When you finally decide to take a chance, I'll be waiting. Turning, I spot Donovan nearby, and he tosses me my shirt. I pull it on and give Pandora one last glance before I grab my bag from Ezra and make my way up the stairs. I'm pissed off and could use another fight to take the edge off. I don't want to leave. I don't want to walk away from her. But chasing her isn't the way to win her heart. She's hard-headed. And if that's the way it has to be, that's fine. I'll wait. She's worth anything I'd have to do to get her. I can only hope that she picks up the gauntlet I just laid down.
Chapter 7. Pandora. I lie with Penelope in our childhood bed at our parents' house. Well, in Penny's childhood bed. It might as well have been mine, too. We shared rooms when we were little, but when we hit our teens, Mom and Dad gave us each our own room. But every night, I would still find myself slipping into her room and into her bed. I rest my hand on her belly. She was up here taking a nap with Ivan, but when I slipped in, he smiled at me and left us alone. It was like any other Sunday with the family. Lots of laughter, lying by the pool, and more food than anyone could eat. But I didn't even feel like I was here for most of it. My head was far from here. I've been in another place, and it's filled with Royce. Hey, Penny says, her eyes fluttering open. Hey. Her hand comes to rest over mine on her belly, our fingers locking. You ready to talk about it? She asks. There's this guy. That's all I get out before she has a giant smile on her face. He's driving me crazy. She raises her eyebrows at me, and I let out a sigh. Okay, maybe I'm driving him crazy, too. He must be something if he's got you all twisted. I've never seen you worked up over a man. She smiles. Unless he was hitting on me. I can't help but laugh. Penny and I used to give the boys hell in high school. They all followed her around like lost puppies. He bugged me when I first met him. Or I guess my attraction to him bugged me. I hated how much I liked the way he smelled. I hated how it made me feel when he got in my personal space. The way he kept asking questions about me. Why? I don't know. I guess because I thought he was just another rich guy in a suit, someone Henry hired. I was taken aback by the attraction. He just went for it, but not in a way I was used to. I've never felt this way about someone, and I don't know if this is what I want. How so? She studies me. He was aggressive, but not. Well, not at first. I knew he wanted me, but he didn't ask me out or anything. I kept trying to give him the cold shoulder, but he would still try to talk to me. Penelope is full on smiling now. What? She gives a little shrug.
What? Tell me. He can tell you're like a skittish cat. You've got claws like Mom does, and he's slowly trying to move close to you. He's trying not to spook you too much, but he keeps coming. I shake my head while a lump forms in my throat. He stopped coming, I admit, and watch her eyes go soft. Then they harden and narrow. What's his name? I can't help but laugh at the sound she makes. You really should have your husband teach you how to growl better. Hey, I can still kick some ass. Don't let the belly fool you. There's more, I confess, and then proceed to tell her everything about the night at the bar. That doesn't mean he's done chasing, Penny glares at me. He wants you. I guess, but still, it's been days, and the only time he talks to me is when he has to. I mean, I've run into him like 5 times a day, and nothing. He stares at me with those eyes I can't get out of my head. Does he work on your freaking floor or something? No, why? Because that building is so big that no one is running into each other 5 times a day. Not unless they work in the lobby or on the same floor. I think about what she's saying, and I suspect she might be right. He's running into me on purpose, I say, and the realization makes me smile. Yep. He's trying to get you to finally admit you want him. He's giving you chance after chance to make your move. I let her words sink in, and I bite my lip, thinking it over. Why does the idea of him softly stalking me make me happy? Oh my God, you're blushing. Shut up, I scoff. Why are you running, Pan? You're not a runner. In fact, if I remember right, you're a secret cuddle bug. I am not a cuddler, I lie. I had every intention of coming in here to cuddle with her. Who do you think you're talking to? I slept with you for more than half your life. She gives me a look like I'm crazy. You're different. You're my twin. She shakes her head at me. I love you, so I'm giving it to you straight. Her face goes serious and reminds me of Dad. You're running because you're scared of a challenge that you might fail, that you could get hurt. That's not true, I say, cutting in. Look at where I've gotten in life. I worked hard for this. I never said you don't work hard. You always have. The problem is, you know you're going to win. It's why when things might have been hard, you pushed because you knew you could do it. You knew you wouldn't fail because it was all on you. Nobody pushes like you do, Pan. You're a warrior, and we all know it. Anyone in a room with you for a few minutes knows that. Her words start sinking in. You love on us, your family, because you know we love you. There's no failure in us loving you back. You let us have the soft side that no one else sees, because we are safe. She reaches out, cupping my face. This guy isn't safe, because you don't know what he'll do with your heart. When I thought Ivan didn't want me, I was a mess. You remember? I nod. I do remember seeing her in pieces. I also remember thinking I'd never let that happen to me. Love is scary, Pan. It's hard and unpredictable. But I can tell you it's worth every second. Step up to the challenge. I know you, and I know you want it. Go and get it. Her words rain down on me. You're right. Fuck. Her hand drops from my face. Han, I meant, like, right now. Why are you still sitting here? I laugh and pull her into a hug. Okay. I jump off the bed. I love you, I tell her, going for the door. Love you too. I'm not shocked when I open the door and see Ivan standing there with a smile on his face. I smile back and head to the backyard to say my goodbyes. When I get to my car, I see Henry in a suit, leaning against it. Only he would wear a suit to the family barbecue. Not avoiding me anymore? I raise an eyebrow at him.
Not now. It used to be Penelope we had to do this with.
I tilt my head, unsure about what he's talking about.
Why is Royce Davenport asking me for your address?
His words make butterflies take flight in my stomach. When did he ask for it? I try to play dumb, but the look on Henry's face tells me he isn't buying it.
Called me about 30 minutes ago. He seemed pretty agitated. Then when I told him no, he got pushy about it.
He straightens and puts his hands in his pockets. What did you say?
I told him to fuck off, like I'm going to give him your address. I should have seen it coming. He asks about you every damn day.
My cheeks warm at his words.
Fuck me, Henry says, shaking his head. Not you too, Pandora. You know what happens when you fall in love in this family.
He runs his hands through his hair just like his father does when he gets frustrated. Give me his address, I tell him, not caring. I want this.
Come on, Pan.
He gives me a look like I can't be for real. I'm not messing around. I want it. I pull out my phone and wait.
Fucking hell.
He rolls his eyes and lets out a sigh.
I'll text it to you, but only because I know you can take care of yourself.
He pulls out his phone and taps out a message. I see it pop up on mine, and I nod. He walks over to me and pulls me in for a hug.
I know we've been at each other's throats the past few months with work, but I love you, and I just wanted to check in on this.
I love you too, I tell him. But if I catch you leaning on my car again, we're going to have another problem. He laughs, pulling away and walking into the house. I hop in my car and put the address in my GPS. My hands are shaky, and I feel anxiety creep up my spine, but I've never been more sure of anything. I know I'm headed in the right direction.
Chapter 8. Royce. I shouldn't have let her go. That's the only thing running through my mind the past few days. I should have carried her out of that fucking basement and brought her home. I should have made her mine that second and not let any time pass between us. I pace back and forth through my living room, trying to rack my brain about what to do. I've already been sneaking down to her floor for made-up reasons. I don't know how much more I can take. Days have gone by, and nothing. I see the look in her eyes. There's so much need there, and I know exactly how to make it better. I clench my fists and grit my teeth. That damn stubborn woman is determined to drive me crazy. If she would just let herself feel what's between us, I know she'd see it. I know without a doubt that she'd fall into my arms. Picking up my phone, I decide to call Henry again. Fuck everything. I don't care if this screws up working together or if it ruins my name. I won't let pride get in the way of what I want with Pandora. My finger hovers over the number just as I hear a knock on the door. Looking up, I wait for Ezra or Donovan to walk in, but nothing happens. Thinking it must be a delivery from the doorman downstairs, I walk over and pull it open. Standing in the doorway is my red-headed goddess. I'm stunned silent by her appearance, and I hold the door open with my jaw on the floor, like an idiot. Her hair is down, and she's looking up at me through her lashes. She's got on a black tank top and cut-off jean shorts and flip-flops. It's the most skin I've ever seen exposed on her, and my mouth begins to water. She looks casual, like she's been lounging around all day while I've been pacing like a maniac. I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life. Hey, sorry to barge in on you, but I need it. Her words shake me out of my block of stone, and I reach for her, pulling her into my arms and kicking the door shut. Before I know what's happening,
I've got her pinned against the wall, and my lips are on hers. Fire ignites between us, stronger than our first kiss. I taste sweetness on her tongue and moan at the feel of her hands on my chest. I grip her ass tight and grind her against the length of my cock. Every thick inch pulses for her, and I'm aching to be inside her tight, wet heat. Fuck, I moan as her hands move lower and I feel her fingers touch my stomach. More. I hold her up against the wall with my lower half so my hands are free to pull my shirt off. Touch me. Her eyes are wide, and she licks her lips as her palms brush against my nipples. Did you come here because you want this? I ask, watching her reaction. She nods, but I shake my head. Not good enough. I run my hands up her thighs, feeling the warmth of her skin around my waist. If you're here for a quick fuck, I'll put you on your feet and take your pretty ass home. But if you want what I want, then I need to hear you say it. Royce, I don't want it to be like that, baby. But I won't play games with you. I'll wait, and it will fucking kill me, but I'll do it for you. She runs her hand up my neck, and I lean into her touch. I close my eyes and take a breath, wanting so desperately to have her. I'm here because I want it all. You, me, and whatever this could become. I open my eyes and see the truth in hers. I've never felt this before, and I'm scared. The raw vulnerability she's showing me right now makes my chest ache. It's exactly what I've been wanting her to say since the day I laid eyes on her. But I want her to be as sure as I am. Once I've had her, there's no going back. There's nothing to be afraid of, Pandora. I wrap my arms around her and look into her dark blue eyes. I'll never hurt you, and I'll never leave you. So make sure when you tell me that you want this, that you damn well mean it. Because when you're mine, that's forever, baby. I'm trusting you with my heart, she says, and I smile. You've already got both hands wrapped around mine. Be careful with my precious cargo. I pull her away from the wall, and she laughs as I walk us back to my bedroom. When I carry her in, I lay her down on the bed and lie on top of her. I'm not ready to kiss her yet, because I just want to look at her in my bed. I've pictured her more times than I can count, and none of the images did it justice. I've never done this before, she whispers, and I see her cheeks turn pink. I could make a joke and lighten the mood, but I don't want to. This is important to me, and I want it to be important to her. Then I'll be gentle. I rub my nose against hers. I'm on the pill, she shrugs, and then opens her mouth to say something else, and I place my fingers on her lips. I'm clean, you're clean. No condoms. I wait a beat, and she nods. When I take my finger away, I replace it with my lips. The kiss is soft at first, but when her hands get on my skin, I'm like an animal that's found its mate. Reaching for the hem of her tank top, I pull it up and over her head, throwing it to the ground. Her breasts are bared to me, her pink nipples tight with desire. I suck one into my mouth as I slip my hand down the front of her jean shorts and into her panties. Her warm honey greets my fingers as I spread her folds and pet her clit. She moans my name, and her hips rise as I rub little circles inside her shorts. I look down and see my hand disappearing below the waistband, and I feel pulse in my cock. Fuck. I want in there so bad, but I have to go slow. Slowly, I push two fingers into her tight opening, rubbing her clit with my palm. I ache to rip her shorts and panties off, but somehow watching it like this is so fucking hot. I suck her other nipple in my mouth when I feel her body tighten around my digits. She's tight, but relaxes as I love her delicate body. I pet her as I would a kitten, gently and with ease. She responds in kind, moving her hand between us and rubbing the bulge in the front of my shorts. The feel of her hand on me there is too much, and before I can control myself, I'm in motion.
Chapter 9. Pandora. Suddenly, my shorts and panties are gone, and I'm left naked in the middle of Royce's bed. Heat and desire have pooled between my legs like never before, and I want him so much I may combust with need. I watch with anticipation as he stands up to kick off his shorts and climbs back on the bed, only wearing his boxer briefs. "Wait," I say, holding out my hands. "Take those off, too." He gives me that cocky smile that I love, but also want to smack off his face. But he does as I ask, as he reaches in his underwear to fist his cock and then slides them off his body. Fuck, could this guy be any sexier?
"Spread those thighs, baby. I've waited long enough to get a taste of heaven."
I throw my hands over my face to hide the blush. I'm never shy about anything, but right now I can feel my whole body blushing. I feel my legs being jerked open and his mouth biting the inside of my thigh.
"Eyes on me, Pandora. I want to see you fall in love."
The bastard winks at me, and just before I can reach out to smack him, his face ducks between my legs, and I feel his mouth on my center. "Oh, Jesus," I groan as the delicious sensation flows up my core and through my veins.
"Royce will do just fine, baby. No need to call me anything else."
I want to growl. I want to kick at him for being such an arrogant asshole. But the things his tongue is doing to me have made me lose all thought. He slides his hands under my ass and lifts me up to him. My legs go over his lower back, and my bottom half is completely off the bed. He's right, though. I watch him with such focus that I can't possibly look away. And I might actually be falling for him at the same time. No one has ever made me feel this good, and I don't just mean between my legs. My heart is full as I run my fingers through his hair, and he tells me how beautiful I am, how good I taste. Passion floods every cell in my body as he seduces me with endless praise on just how perfect I am for him. If I had known it would be like this, I would have sat on his face the second he walked into my office. Reaching up, I rub my breasts and play with my nipples as he looks up from my sex. His eyes narrow, and he moans in agonizing pleasure as he enjoys the view. I'm teasing him, and I'm tempting his control, but I'm so close to orgasm that I can't stop myself. He knows I'm close, too, because every time my breath hitches and I'm at the peak, he pulls me back in. He's edging me, keeping me on the cusp, and I'm insane with want.
"You going to beg for it?"
he asks as he kisses the inside of my thigh and runs his nose against my clit. "Never," I say, and I damn well mean it.
"That's my girl,"
he whispers and winks at me. God damn him for making me fall even harder for him. I open my mouth to protest, but before I can get a word out, Royce has flipped me over on my hands and knees and is pulling my back to his front. His arms come around my waist, and I feel the large length of his cock resting between my legs. He's sitting back on his feet and brings me onto his lap with my legs on either side of his.
"I want you like this the first time. This way you can control it."
His big hands run up my stomach. One cups my breast and the other slides back down to my pussy. I feel his rough digits gently stroke my sensitive clit, and my orgasm is barreling down on me again. My body is wound so tight he's playing me like a guitar.
"Slide down real easy, baby."
He kisses my shoulder and I feel him nuzzle my neck.
"I want to make slow, sweet love to you."
He's handed me the keys and told me to drive. I didn't expect this from him. I thought he'd get on top and it would be something I'd have to grit my teeth to get through the first time. But like Royce, he's never what I think. The head of his cock presses against my entrance, and I feel the girth of him. but his hands roam my body and his kisses trail up and down my neck, and I relax. I breathe through the pinch of pain and slowly lower myself onto him. I can feel the slight tremble in his touch as I take more and more of his length until I'm fully seated. There's nothing in the world that can explain just how good it feels to take him into my body. I can't describe the fullness, not only between my legs, but in my heart, as I hear Royce's voice in my ear. I expected it to hurt, and I never expected it to feel this good. So perfect. So beautiful. He whispers and pets my clit. I'm so close. I breathe, already on the edge of pleasure. My body is locked tight around his, and I feel his lips at my ear.
Slow, baby. Real slow.
I rise up, and his length drags out of me, letting me feel every hard ridge. The head of his cock rubs some perfect place inside me, and I cry out when he hits it.
Now let's focus on that. Right there,
he says, rocking back and forth in short bursts right against that secret place inside me. The feeling is torture of the sweetest kind, and it's like I'm being branded from the inside out. Royce, oh shit. I grab his arms and dig my nails into his skin. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I hear him encouraging it, telling me to mark him. The slow, steady thrusts right on that one spot have my eyes closing tight and sweat breaking out all over my body.
I'm going to come right there.
He thrusts against it, and I cry out. My body shakes, and I scream as the orgasm ignites in my blood and sends pleasure into every inch of my body. My fingers and toes feel like they're on fire, and I nearly collapse onto the bed. But Royce holds me tight, and I feel heat between my legs as his seed spills inside me. The two of us combined spread on the insides of my thighs, and I can feel every pulse of his cock as he gives me more. His orgasm triggers another wave of pleasure between my legs, and his fingers slow their steady thrum. My gasps of breath have slowed down, and my heartbeat is beginning to return to normal. His lips kiss my shoulder, and I can feel him smile against me.
Mine, he says, and hugs his arms around my body.
A wave of exhaustion hits me as he lays me down on the bed and spoons in beside me. There's a blanket pulled over us, and his strong arms keep me safe. I've never felt more at peace in my life, and I snuggle against him.
Get some sleep, baby. You're going to need it.
Chapter 10 Pandora. Kisses rain down my spine and slowly wake me. I look over my shoulder to see Royce's lips lingering in places before he moves to the next spot. This is the second time he's woken me up with his mouth. The first was with him between my legs. He ate me until I came, and I fell asleep again.
We gotta go, baby,
he says against my skin, but makes no room to move. I mumble, wanting to fall back on the pillow, but I like watching him kiss me. I don't want to move from this bed, I admit. I glance over to the window and see that the sun is already set.
I have a fight tonight,
he says before he gives me a long lick up my spine.
I feel like I've been waiting to get you in my bed since forever.
His words make me smile. We've known each other maybe 2 weeks, I tease, rolling over. He comes down on top of me, his big body blanketing mine. I reach up and run my finger along his lips. He smiles at me, that perfect smile that always drives me crazy. I lean up and kiss his dimple.
I thought it would take me months to turn you into a cuddler, he says.
It's then I notice that I wrapped my arms and legs around him. I'm pretty sure I slept on top of him, too, for most of our nap. I want to say something smart-ass about it, but I just hold tighter to him and bury my face in his neck.
I want this. I don't know why I've been fighting it. It feels good to be wrapped around it. It feels like where I belong. Before I know what's happening, we're moving. I hear the twist of knobs, then warm water hits my body. I pull back to look at Royce. He takes my mouth in a soft kiss before placing me on my feet. You really have a fight tonight? I'm torn between wanting to see him in action again and wanting to crawl on top of his naked body. Yeah, he says, putting soap on his hands and rubbing my body to clean me. It's so natural and intimate. For some reason, jealousy shoots through me at the thought of him doing this with someone else.
What's the face for, babe?
Nothing, I lie, not wanting to tell him what I'm thinking. He leans down and places a kiss below my ear.
Don't do that. Don't put those walls up, he says.
Do you have a lot of women in here? I finally bring myself to say. I want to do this, and I know if I do, I need to be open, say what I'm thinking, and not hide or act like I don't care when I really do. That smile spreads on his face. I'll smack you, I tell him. I raise my eyebrows at him, but then his face grows serious. He leans down, cupping my face in his big hands.
No,
he says simply, and I can see the truth on his face.
I've never been serious with someone before. For a while, I thought something might be wrong with me. I didn't have an interest in women, or even men for that matter. I felt nothing. But then you walked into my life, and I knew. I just hadn't found my woman yet. I found the one who challenges me and makes me feel things I've never felt.
I lean up and kiss him. It's slow and soft, and before I know it, I'm in his arms, wrapping myself around him again. I'm lost when his lips touch mine, and it's like drowning in a pool of love. I've never experienced anything so safe and free. It takes us 30 minutes to finally pull ourselves from the shower, and when we do, my fingers and toes are wrinkled like raisins.
You're not wearing that,
Royce says. I glance over at him. He's dressed in dark jeans and a tight gray shirt that molds to his body. He's got a gym bag slung over his shoulder, and he's glaring at me. Well, this is all I've got, unless you want to run by my place, I say, walking toward him. Besides, I wear whatever I want. I walk right past him and don't stop as I walk out the front door. I know he's going to follow me because I feel him behind me. I didn't have much choice in what to wear, but I can't say I don't like poking the bear. I have my jean shorts on and one of Royce's white undershirts. My black bra is easily seen through the white material. Luckily, I had some boots in my car because I wasn't going to wear flip-flops to a bar fight, or whatever this is called. This isn't something I would normally wear, but I'll tough it out. I'm showing off more skin than I want to, but it will be fine. Plus, when I saw Royce's eyes heat up as he looked me over, it only solidified my view on this outfit. I like it even more now that I know how he feels about it.
I have a feeling I'm going to be fighting more than my opponent tonight,
I hear Royce say from behind me. A little squeak leaves me when I'm lifted up and thrown over his shoulder. He slaps me on the ass before putting me back on my feet. I glare up at him, but he only leans down, kissing me and ignoring my stare. His hand cups my ass.
Come on, baby, we gotta get going.
I pretend to be mad as I walk around his car. He opens the door for me, and I slip in. He reaches in and buckles my seatbelt. I want to tell him I can take care of myself, that I know how to put my own seatbelt on. But something about him taking care of me, just like in the shower, gives me a warm feeling in my stomach. He slides in the driver's seat, and we take off toward the bar. Do you get nervous before a fight? I ask. Because he seems completely calm, I would at least be a little jittery.
Nope,
he says easily.
Been doing it a while now.
Your face seems too pretty to fight all the time, I tell him, earning me that cocky smile of his.
I'll try and keep it that way tonight. Wouldn't want my woman thinking I'm not the best-looking guy in the room.
I roll my eyes at his comment. When we finally make it to the bar, I start getting excited. Everyone seems to know who Royce is. He keeps a possessive arm wrapped around me as we make our way through the crowd. It's weird having a man hold on to me and stake his claim. But I like it. I know I can take care of myself, but it's nice having his protective body telling everyone in here I'm his. You know you'll have to let me go so you can get in the ring, right? I look up at him. For once, his face doesn't have that smile. No, now he looks a little irritated.
Yo, Rolly, who's the girl?
Royce's arm tightens around me even more. I glance over to the man who called his name.
She's none of your fucking business. That's who she is, he throws back.
The other man is big. He looks like he spends 10 hours a day in a gym. I wouldn't be shocked if someone said he was on steroids. But Royce doesn't seem to care.
If I were you, I'd watch myself. No point poking me before we get in that ring. Don't make it worse for yourself.
Jesus, he's going to fight this guy? He looks like the after picture in a bodybuilder commercial. But Royce doesn't seem to care.
Never seen you on a girl before. Got me wondering.
I look around and see other people are looking at us too. I go to say something, but Royce drops his arm from around me.
You need to go somewhere else. Damn, that pussy must be good if it's got you all riled up. How about we bet on her own little ass? Whoever wins the fight tonight gets her,
he challenges.
Now I'm fucking pissed. I try to step forward, but Royce beats me to it. His arm shoots out and he swings. His fist meets the guy's jaw, and there's an audible crunch throughout the room.
Before I can even blink, he's throwing his other fist and connecting with the other side of his face. The man sways back, and Royce thrusts an uppercut, sending him down hard to the concrete floor. Everyone starts cheering and yelling Royce's name. I stand there a little shocked, but the crowd is going nuts. Royce comes back to me, wrapping his arm around my back.
Guess the fight is over, I murmur through a smile.
Something about him getting jealous and possessive makes the warm feeling come back to my stomach. I never thought I would have something like this, or even want it. Now I'm starting to see why Penny loves it when Ivan gets all territorial. It makes you feel special.
Told you not to wear that outfit.
He shakes his head, but I just keep on smiling as his hand moves down and squeezes my ass.
Chapter 11. Royce. I growl when I feel her press her lower half against my cock. She knows exactly what she's doing with that ass of hers. You trying to get fucked down here tonight? I ask, looking in those dark blue eyes.
Maybe.
She bites her bottom lip, and I swear to God I wrap tighter around her pinky. I bet you didn't know you were such a dirty girl.
Yo, Rolly!
I look up and see my boys coming down the steps. Ezra looks at the ring behind me and shakes his head. Donovan just laughs and looks at me with a questioning expression.
Guess there's no fight tonight.
No, I say, and don't elaborate.
Someone went caveman,
Pandora says, and waves to the two of them.
I don't blame him, Ezra says. You're coming down to the lion's den dressed like that. I'm surprised another fight hasn't broken out.
Not yet, I say, narrowing my eyes on her. And stop looking at her, I snap at Ezra.
Hey, just looking out for my man's girl,
he winks at her, and I feel my fists clench.
Since you're here and there's no fight, I bet we get a beer and see what shakes out. I bet they'll stack another one. It's early.
Donovan looks past me and then back to us. My grip on Pandora's ass tightens, but she has other ideas.
Sounds like fun, The first one was over way too soon.
She blows me a kiss as she wiggles out of my grip and goes to the bar. God damn that woman, I say to myself, but Donovan slaps me on the back.
Cheer up, Rolly. You've only got another 60 years or so of it to deal with.
The thought of spending the rest of my life with Pandora warms the place in my chest that I didn't think was alive until I met her. Donovan and Ezra know the type of guy I am. They know that I don't take things lightly when it comes to women. If I've put my claim on Pandora, they know it's for keeps. She's the one, and I'm done. It's that simple for me, and they know it. Now let's see if Pandora can get on the same page as them. Pandora grabs a stool and orders us beers. I go over and pick her up, then sit down and put her on my lap. She wiggles on top of me like she's annoyed, but when her ass finds my cock, her eyes grow wide. I lean into her hair and put my lips against her ear. Keep wiggling like that, and I'll bend you over this bar. I take her lobe between my teeth, and I feel her shiver. I'd have to murder everyone in this room for watching you get fucked, but I'll always give you what you need. I slide my hands up her bare thigh until I get to the edge of her short shorts. They show just the edge of her cheek and barely cover her pussy.
Royce,
she breathes, and I shake my head. Call me Rolly when we're down here. It makes me so fucking hard to think about you cheering my name while you watch me. I play with the edge of her shorts, running my fingertips where the denim is frayed. If I get in there tonight, I'm gonna fight. And when I'm done, I'm gonna need to fuck. So if I step in that ring, you better be wet and ready for me, baby.
That middleweight from Boston is here tonight. You want in on that?
Donovan asks, breaking our moment. I look up at him and then to Pandora, raising my eyebrow in a question. She licks her lips and I see a blush creep across her cheeks as she nods.
Yeah, I'm fighting, I say to Donovan. All right, I'll set it up, he says, and disappears through the crowd.
I drink my beer and Pandora watches me, eyes locked on my mouth and then on my throat when I swallow. Her body is so hot, and I can see the change in her breathing, see her hard nipples poking against the thin white shirt. You stay beside Ezra until it's finished, I say. It's not a question, but she nods. And you stay where I can see you, right up front.
It's done, Donovan says, coming back over. You're up in 10.
Let's go change, I say, getting off the stool and pulling Pandora behind me. I take her into the bathroom and lock the door. I push her up against it and lift her, letting her legs wrap around my waist. Tell you what, baby, however many seconds it takes me to knock that guy out is how many hours I'm going to spend between your legs when we get home.
Is that a threat?
She asks smugly. You saw me KO that guy in about a second. You sure you want me to go that quick? I give her my cocky smile that I know makes her wet, and I'm not disappointed when she rubs her lower half against me.
Take your time, she says,
but then she becomes serious.
Be careful, okay?
You just take care of what's most important to me, and I'll do the rest. I kiss her softly and then drop her to her feet so I can change. When I've got on my loose shorts and no shirt, she looks me over like I'm a piece of meat and she's a vegan who just fell off the wagon. You keep giving me eyes like that and I'll have to fuck you right now. There's a loud pounding on the door.
You're up, Rolly.
Promises, promises,
Pandora says, and runs her hand across my chest.
Put your shirt on right after.
I don't like other women seeing you without it on. I reach into my bag and pull it out, slipping it back on over my head. She looks at me with shock on her face, and I wink. For your eyes only. We walk out and make our way over to the ring. I stand at the edge, and Ezra is right there beside Pandora, waiting on her. I lean down, give her a kiss, and laying my claim in front of everyone. I want to deepen it, but I force myself to stop and then move my lips to her ear.
Count for me, baby. Stepping away, I walk in the ring and look over to her thighs squeezed together. My job is almost done. Now I just need to knock this guy out so I can go take care of my woman. The bell rings, and I step up, my fists held in front of my face. The guy comes at me, and I block his first few punches, dancing around the ring. I hear the crowd cheering, but over all of it, I hear Pandora say my name. The primal beast inside me grows 10 sizes, and I smile at the man across the ring from me. He doesn't stand a chance. Stepping forward, I lay a 1-2 punch on him, and then another. That's all it takes to make him go down. He's a big guy, but I've got my woman shouting my name, and I'd never let her see me fail. He's not knocked out, so the ref has to come over to count it out. I turn to see Pandora with one hand on her throat in surprise as she watches me. It was fast, but the time is ticking. I count out loud with the ref, giving her my dirty smile, knowing I'm going to love every minute in between those smooth thighs of hers. 3, 2, 1, I say, stalking toward her. But before I make it to her, she's leaping into my arms. I carry her through the crowd, and her mouth goes to my neck, licking and sucking on me. Get out of my way, I growl at people who are blocking us. When I get to the bathroom, I kick it closed and shoot the bolt. God damn, that was hot. She breathes right before my mouth connects with hers. I set her on her feet and unbutton her shorts, pushing them off her hips along with her panties. I lift her back up and press her to the wall as I pull my rock-hard cock out. 7 seconds, she moans, right before I thrust all the way into her tight pussy. 7 hours of heaven, I say, pulling back and thrusting back in. Royce, she cries out, and I do it again. I ride her hard, needing the release from tonight. The adrenaline is built up from the fighting and thinking about all the men out there checking out what's mine. Right now, you're getting a quick fuck. I'll take my time when we get home. I reach between us and rub her clit. This is fast and dirty, but I know you like it. I feel her tighten around me as I pound her against the wall. I strum her sweet little nub and she moans, burying her mouth against my chest. My cock aches to come, but I feel how close she is. I grit my teeth and hold off, wanting us to go together. The punishing rhythm is enough, though, and I don't have to wait long. That's it, she cries, tensing up and biting my chest as she comes. Fuck, I moan, and empty into her, feeling my whole body shake from the intensity of it. Her body goes limp in my arms as I feel the heat of our passion coat her thighs. I'm going to have fun cleaning that up later. God, you're so hot when you fight, she says, smiling at me with heavy eyes. Not as hot as you are when you're on my cock. I flash her the smile I know drives her crazy and she rolls her eyes, smacking my chest playfully. I'm going to take you home, feed you, and then make good on my promise. You're going to get lockjaw, she says, kissing my lips. But then I won't have to hear your cocky comments. I'll take that trade-off.
Chapter 12. Pandora.
I've never seen you look nervous before, Royce says, looking over at me.
It's been over a week of pure bliss with him. I even said fuck it and called out of work for 2 days just to stay in bed with him. I'd been working my ass off, and I figured I'd earned it. He's right, though. I hardly ever get nervous. I want them to like you, I tell him, looking up at my parents' house. Penelope has been begging me all week to bring Royce to the family dinner. While I want to, I'm a little reluctant. Not because I'm embarrassed to bring a guy around, but because I want everyone to love him. Royce reaches over, sliding his hand into mine.
Baby, I promise everything will be fine.
He gives me a little squeeze. My family is close, I tell him, trying to make sure he understands how important this is to me. I don't want him to think I don't want them to meet each other. I just want this to be perfect.
We're more than close. My family is everything to me. I actually think that's part of the reason why I never went out and found, or wanted, a boyfriend. I had people close to me at home, and didn't think I needed it anywhere else. Plus, I always thought I'd never find someone as good as my dad. I wasn't willing to settle. I saw how he treated my mom, and I thought that was rare. I didn't think I would ever find a love like that. My mom's strong-willed like I am, but he handles her while letting her be who she is. I'm a leader like her, and most men are threatened by that. Royce seems to get off on it, though. It's probably why I love him. I freeze for a second, processing the thought that just popped into my head. I love him.
Then I want to be close to them too, he says, breaking through my internal shock.
I'm different with them, I admit. It's not like the work me most people see.
Baby,
he sighs. God, I love it when he calls me that. I used to think guys calling their women that was annoying. Maybe I was secretly missing something, because when Royce says it, I melt into a puddle.
I've spent a week worshiping your body and feeding you. I know there are two sides to you. I love them both.
You love them both, I repeat, only really catching one word. He grabs me, pulling me onto his lap and positioning me so I'm straddling him. He takes my mouth in a deep kiss that has me worked up in seconds.
Loved you from the moment I saw you,
he tells me. He runs his hand up to my hair, pulling my ponytail.
I felt it that first time you took my hand.
I'd felt it too, but it scared me. You make a different part of me come out. With you, I feel like I don't have to have any walls. I can just be me, I admit, because it's true.
I'm like a fucking king because you're that way with me.
He rubs the back of my neck before pulling me to him and taking my mouth again. This time I deepen it, wanting to fall into him. I pull him closer, but suddenly the car door is flying open. Oh my fucking God, I hear Penelope say. Royce, this is my sister, I mutter, pulling back from the kiss and blushing because I got caught making out. He's hot, Penelope says. I hear Ivan growl and look over to see him moving her behind his big body and away from us. Not hotter than you, she rolls her eyes. Get out of the car, she says before yelling, Mom, Pan is making out in the car. Now it's my turn to roll my eyes. Royce chuckles as I climb off him and out of the car. The smile on Penelope's face is giant. Ivan has his arms around her, cupping her belly like her baby might pop out at any moment and he might need to catch him.
She's mine,
Ivan says simply, his eyes boring into Royce. I know Royce can fight, but I'm not sure anyone wants to come up against Ivan when it comes to my sister. Royce wraps one arm around me, pulling me into him.
And she's mine,
he says simply. They glare at one another, and Ivan nods to me.
And she's my sister. Hurt her, and I promise you it will be the last thing you do.
It takes me a little by surprise, but his words make me smile. Ivan and I have become somewhat close over the years, with him being married to Penelope, but I didn't think he'd say that. And this is my brother, Ivan, I say, smiling.
Hurting her is the last thing I'll ever do,
Royce says, pulling me even closer to him. Ivan studies him for a moment before nodding. Look at them! He's all cuddling her, and she's letting him, Penelope says excitedly. She looks like she's about to burst into a pile of sparkles. Pan, Mom says. I turn to see her and Dad standing in the front door. Dad has his arms crossed over his chest and is giving Royce a death stare. Mom has a little smirk on her face. She and Penelope seem to be the only ones who are happy here. Hey, I say, waving to them.
You going to introduce us?
Dad says. This is Pan's man, Penelope says before I can get a word in. She needs a ring and a baby, she adds, and I feel myself blush. I give her a hard look, and she just shrugs. Mom and Dad make their way out the front door. Mom, Dad, this is Royce. We kinda work together, I tell them. This is what had you in knots last week? Mom asks. I feel myself redden even more. I had no idea I was a blusher, but leave it to my family to pull it out of me. Royce reaches out, taking Dad's hand. Dad holds it for a second before letting it go. I wasn't in knots, I say as Royce takes Mom's hand next. Mom just smiles more, looking just like Penelope.
Don't let her lie to you, Royce says before kissing the top of my head. I know my girl. And I know you, Mom says as she lists off Royce's life history. She even knows a bit more than I do. Mom, I scold, but she shrugs. Penelope keeps on smiling, and Dad stands there, seeming to know it all.
We run one of the biggest security firms in the States. Do you think we don't know who you're dating?
Dad says. Royce lets out a bark of laughter.
Well, I hope I meet your standards.
Not that it matters, I add. I'm keeping him. Dad studies me for a second before a smile finally pulls at his lips. While I was a little nervous to introduce them to Royce, I knew they would be happy. My parents are so in love and want the same for me. Dad has even been poking me about when I might bring someone around. Royce squeezes my hand, and I smile at him. Okay, guys, now that's out of the way. We're leaving, I tell them. I go around and give everyone a goodbye hug. You just got here, Penelope says grumpily in my ear. He just told me he loves me, I whisper back. Yep, they have to go, Penelope says loudly, making me shake my head. My mom and Dad try to protest, but Penelope goes about pushing them back into the house. Royce looks at me with confusion and holds his arms out, palms up. Get in the car, I tell him, and he raises his eyebrows at me. You get in the car, he says back, and I roll my eyes. I go around the other side and get in and wait for him to slide into the driver's seat. Reaching over, he pulls on my seatbelt for me and waits. Drive, I grit out.
What has you all pissy?
He asks as he slides his key in, then backs out of the driveway. The man I love just told me he loves me, and I haven't gotten to say it back. We've only traveled a few yards when the car comes to a sudden halt as he hits the brakes and throws it into park. Before I know it, my seatbelt is off, and Royce yanks me out of my seat and onto his lap.
Say it.
You can't demand it, I tease.
Baby.
His voice comes out rough and deep, with so much emotion in it.
Say it.
I love you, I whisper for the first time to someone outside of my family. He stares at me hard for half a second before his mouth hits mine. His tongue pushes in, and I kiss him back just as fiercely. I don't know why I ever fought this. His hands tangle in my hair, and all I can think is that this love is what I've been waiting on my whole life.
We're getting married,
he tells me as his lips move to my neck. You're bossy. Normally, I would get mad, but something about the way he's so assertive and sure of what he's saying does it for me. I feel myself smile and close my eyes, loving the feeling of his lips on me. His grip on my hair tightens, and my pussy clenches. God, what this beast of a man does to me.
Say you'll marry me,
he pushes, and I moan at the strong grip he has on me. He's tough, and it goes straight to my core. I'm not used to someone being so firm with me. I like it, and he smiles, knowing damn well I'm getting off on it. I'll marry you, I tell him, because it's what I want. It might be crazy fast, but I don't care.
This man was made for me. We could fly to Vegas tonight. He smiles and then leans forward, giving me a soft, sweet kiss. It's the complete opposite of what we were just doing. Then he's putting me back in my seat and going back into my parents' driveway. What are you doing? I ask, wondering what the hell is happening.
I'm going to go ask your dad if I can marry you.
He's giving me that cocky grin with his deep dimples, and I melt. I once wanted to smack that look off his face, and now all I want to do is kiss it. He gets it. He understands what my family means to me. I love you, I tell him again.
I love you too,
he says before getting out of the car and taking me with him.
Epilogue. Royce. 2 years later.
What are you two in here doing? I ask, seeing Pandora and our daughter, Lavender, playing.
I'm teaching her how to throw a punch, Pandora says, holding up her hand for Lav to hit.
Hey, I'm the fighter in this family. I should be the one doing it. I lean on the doorframe and cross my arms. The sight of the two of them together completes a piece of a puzzle I never knew I was building. We've talked about having another one, but Pandora says Penelope has enough for the whole family.
Nah, I want her to be good at it.
Pandora winks at me, and I growl, getting on the floor with the two of them and lying on my back while Lavender crawls on me. We kept my loft in the city for Pandora to work a few days a week. I do most of my consulting from home now, so I'm mobile. We have our house on the compound, as we love to call it, and stay out there the rest of the time. I stopped fighting after Lavender was born. It's not that I didn't enjoy it, but having kids changed our perspective on things. Suddenly it wasn't just me and Pandora fucking in bathrooms in the basement of dingy bars, although we still managed to do that on date night. I wanted to give our little girl the world, and that included my time, too. Once I made the decision to step out of the ring, I never looked back. Getting in the ring was a good time, but it's not a sport you can really work at long term, and I was ready for it to end. But there's one thing that hasn't changed, and that's my love for Pandora. If anything, it's grown over the past 2 years to a level I can't even comprehend. I never knew love could be like this, and every day it grows stronger. Pandora's dad told me that it's that way for him and her mom, too. I see it when they're together, and that's what I want for us. Are you all packed up? I ask, sitting up to kiss Pandora.
Yep. It's nice having stuff at both places, though.
So all we have to do is grab the essentials. I reach out and grab her breast, and she giggles. What? Just the essentials, right?
You play your cards right, and we can have a babysitter tonight.
Your sister's having baby fever again, I say, picking up Lav and taking her over to the changing table.
I know. She says one more, and Ivan agrees. But I think that man would give her as many babies as her little body can carry.
She comes up behind me and wraps her arms around my waist, resting her cheek on my shoulder. If we timed it out right, you could both be pregnant at the same time, I say.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Penelope would go nuts.
I blow a raspberry on Lav's belly and listen to her giggle. Might not be so bad. She's already a year old. Maybe we should have them close together.
Sounds like you're the one who has baby fever, she says, smacking my ass. Are you and Penelope in cahoots?
I hide my smile from her and try to shrug casually. I may have been talking to Penelope about cycles and when they would both be ovulating again. Ivan didn't like the talk at first, but as soon as Penelope was talking about being fertile, he was right there with us.
Royce Davenport, turn around and look at me, Pandora demands.
I pick up Lav and hold her up beside my face.
Would we lie to you?
Pandora bites her lip and shakes her head.
You're not allowed to use her cuteness to get out of trouble. Come to Mama, little one.
She takes Lavender and then I scooped the both of them up in my arms and walked toward the door. Tell you what, why don't we let your parents watch Little Lav tonight, and you and me have some alone time? You know, see what happens. Pandora rolls her eyes, but I know she's thinking about it. I can't say I don't like it when you try to knock me up, she says, as I put her on her feet so she can grab her bag. I take it from her, and then take the baby, as Pandora locks up. Then just shut that pretty mouth of yours and let your man make things happen. I think your dad is trying to give you a brother or sister, Pandora says as she walks past us. I'm trying my best, baby girl, I whisper to her, and she giggles at me.
Epilogue. Pandora. 5 years later. Oh my god, Pan, that guy is totally checking you out, Penelope says from behind me. I look up to see a guy at a bench in the park near us looking our way. Whatever, I say, blowing it off. I'm in yoga pants and a tank top with what I'm sure are at least 3 different kid stains. Seriously, he keeps looking over here, she says, poking me in the ribs not so subtly. Dude, I say to get her to stop. Maybe he's checking you out. I look over to see the kids playing together in the grass and lie back on the blanket to soak in the sun. Don't even play like that. Ivan is more than 10 feet from me. If he hears you, he'll come over here and murder everyone, she says, looking around for him like she's excited by the possibility. Besides, I'm like 11 months pregnant with my 5th kid. I think Ivan might be the only man alive who finds me sexy.
Let's hope so. If he found out someone else did, we'd all be in trouble.
I do love how possessive he can be. She sighs dreamily, and I roll my eyes. I can't hate it, though. Possessiveness is one of my favorite features on my man. I lower my glasses and see Royce with our 2 little girls getting snow cones. His ass is looking way too good in those jeans today. Ivan is beside him, and he waves to Penelope, who blows him a kiss. God, I love her and how ridiculous she is sometimes. Oh shit, he's coming over here. What do we do? Should we throw something at him? Penelope is freaking out, and I want to laugh and cover her mouth at the same time.
Excuse me, but do I know you?
The tall, thin guy asks, looking down at me. No, I say, looking back to where Royce and Ivan are standing, but their backs are turned to us. They are not going to like this, Penelope mumbles in a sing-song voice.
Are you sure? You look very familiar. Have you been to the art gallery on 7th?
Nope, I say, sitting up now so the guy isn't looming over me so much.
It's strange, because I own it, and I swear I've seen you at one of our exhibits.
You've mistaken me for someone else.
My name is Drake,
he says, interrupting me and kneeling down, holding out his hand. Penelope leans past me and whispers to the stranger. Look, Drake, you seem like a nice enough guy, so I'm going to save your life. She looks to our guys and then back to him. Those men are straight killers. You need to walk away slowly and never look back. He smiles like Penelope is being funny, but she pulls back and shakes her head. Oh shit, here we go. I turn to see Royce stomping over to us, the snow cones gripped in his hands so tight all of the ice is falling off them as he gets closer. He's trying to hang on to them as the girls are hot on his heels, reaching for them, and it's a pretty funny sight.
Are you talking to my wife?
He says the last word like I belong to him, and it should be obvious to the world. I want to laugh at how comical it is, but I know if I do, I'll only get him angrier. Nothing sets my Royce off like someone stepping between him and his ladies. That includes our daughters. Royce hands the girls the snow cones, and Lavender complains that half of hers is on the ground, while Sam shrugs and drinks what's left in the cup.
I'm sorry, baby. I'll get you another one once I get rid of this asshole.
Royce looks back to Drake, who's already standing up and backing away. Just then, Ivan walks up, and I bury my face in my hands, groaning.
I tried to tell him,
Penelope says in a smug voice, crossing her arms over her chest and shaking her head. Ivan doesn't stop once he gets to us, though. Instead, he keeps stomping toward the guy. Drake's eyes widen with fear, and he backs away. Ivan keeps going. Then Drake turns and runs. Ivan ends up chasing the guy out of the park and out of sight.
God, I love him, Penelope sighs, watching Ivan walk back to her.
Come with me,
Royce says, pulling me from the blanket and taking me with him to the snow cone vendor.
Should have brought you the first time.
The girls sit down with their aunt and uncle and finish what little they have left of their icy treat. Don't get all grumpy, I tease, wrapping my arms around him and leaning close.
I dropped my snow cone,
he complains, and he sounds like a little boy. It's so adorable, I start laughing. He growls and then turns, grabbing me up and squeezing my ass. You're lucky you're hot, I say, kissing his lips.
Yeah, well, I'm cursed that my wife is so damn hot. Can't keep them off you.
Well, I did wear my best yoga pants, I say, and shrug.
I told you your ass looked too good in them.
Give me my smile, I say, and he does as I ask. He beams at me, giving me that cocky-ass grin with dimples showing. I kiss each one before I kiss his lips, and he grinds against me. You get turned on when you get jealous, I mumble against his lips.
I get turned on when I have you in my arms, and you damn well know it.
Maybe you should remind me, I push. I'm not disappointed when he throws me over his shoulder and tells my sister and Ivan to take the girls home. He's got something he needs to take care of, and it has to do with my sassy mouth. God, I love my man.
This is Savannah Peachwood and Tristan James. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Hold Tight, a For You novella by Alexa Riley. This program was produced by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, Technical Director, Executive Producer Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2017 by author Alexa Riley, LLC. Production copyright 2017 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.